Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's cinnamon, that's Hollywood, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Burnley scored 3, and what about those Blades? It's Thursday, 28th of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome to the show, one and all. Andy Brassel, you're looking beautiful, baby.
Aren't we all looking beautiful?
Yeah, Peter.
I've dyed my hair.
I
bleached my hair blonde, and then that didn't go very well. Mm-hmm. After a recent blonding last year under the first lockdown. And then I tried to dye it back to brown, but it just went a bit pink. I looked a little bit like a Korean pop star. I looked like a member of the band. Is it the Bangtan Boys, the BTS?
Oh, it must be.
BTS Army. BTS Army. Yeah. And then I dyed it, and then I found a better dye that allowed me to go almost to black. So now I look like an aging pop star that's trying to pretend that he hasn't gone grey.
Yeah.
Which I'm also doing, so that's fine.
Well, yeah, I for one, Pete, very much enjoyed Marilyn Manson's Mechanical Animals face.
Did that have the beautiful Pete? It was in a beautiful kind of the deluxe version of that was a lovely kind of like plastic cardboard monstrosity. That one, I love that one.
Is that beautiful. The one where he's like got this sort of completely smooth body with nippleless breasts and like a nub for a penis, very much like for Ramble completists, people used to suggest Sami Nasri looked with his clothes off.
Oh, I was thinking more of an Action Man figure.
Yeah, like an Oscar.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah, or an Oscar.
Yeah.
We talked about him yesterday, though, so leave your Oscar chat out, okay? gentlemen, straight away to Old Trafford, Sheffield United. What a win. What a bloody win. It was Manchester United's first league defeat since the 1st of November, although I do believe it was in their last 10 home games. Was it in the league or all competitions? I think in the league, their fourth defeat. So it was, you know, when you look at the stats, sometimes it isn't too big a shock on one sense. But of course, in the current climate, Andy, with Sheffield United, some of their fans are a little bit concerned about taking Derby's unwanted record and all that kind of stuff. It's only their second league win of the season. It's a massive shock and a proper shock as well, Mr. Brassel, because this season it's been a bit crazy with the results and all that kind of stuff, as we know. But this was a proper shock.
Yeah, it was a proper shock. But Sheffield United didn't steal it, I didn't think. I thought they were pretty good. Pretty
Is that
well
a pun
organized.
On the Steel City?
Hey.
You didn't mean
it
that, did you?
It can be. It can be. Yes, it was.
Okay. Sorry. Carry on.
This is not a workshop for Andy's gags, guys. Come on.
And I'm just checking that... okay. Carry on, everybody. Yeah, we can't do that for the whole show. Just part of it.
Yeah, I thought... I thought they were really good. United looked a bit flat, but I thought it was interesting when Solskjaer came out and said afterwards, well, yeah, after the performances of the last couple of months, it was very disappointing. And I thought, well, are you really meaning to say results when you're saying performances?
I love it. I absolutely. Didn't he also say there was no magic?
Yes, that's right. I mean, it was taking, some would say, fair enough, they've had a very good run. Others would say it's taking intellectual dishonesty to an entirely different level.
they've definitely ridden their luck this season, haven't they? Remember the it was a 1-0 against West Brom, and I think Rashford's deflection against Wolves. It's a bit of a reality check, isn't it, really, for Man United? Because they can't sleepwalk to victories against sides way below them in the league. And it just kind of got to show that they're really not a great side. They're just a team that... they're very quick in transition, and I just get the feeling that if they don't get the ball in the net within the first phase of play on the counter, that it doesn't really happen for them, and they get a little bit frustrated. You know, they don't retain possession in their opponent's half well enough to be a great side. They, you know, they're no Bayern, they're no Liverpool, and they need to be if you're going to spaff that amount of money on a Premier League side. So yeah, it's you can win the league without being a great team, but can you create a legacy at Manchester United? I think it's a very different thing.
Yeah, I mean, despite the loss, I mean, Manchester City at the top with the game in hand on them, but Manchester United are 1 point off the top, which. I know this season doesn't make much sense, etc. But Andy, you know, Peter's a point there. Again, I still, as you said it yourself, I still don't know whether Solskjaer's a good manager for Manchester United or not.
No, I don't think the question has ever been, is he good? It's always been, could they do better?
Okay.
Yeah. I think there was maybe an answer to that, but it's irrelevant because they're not thinking about getting rid of him, and I don't think they've ever been thinking about.
Well, and this season, with the way the world is, it's maybe not.
But
they're not Chelsea, Andy. Come on.
Yeah, that's true, and they've proved that at every turn, just as Arsenal have with Arteta, as we were saying a couple of days ago on the Ramble. But I think we can just quite simply boil this down to. The manager. It's the cult of the manager. Obviously, the manager or head coach is very important. But I feel like we spend a lot of time saying, you know, Coach A is either a dickhead or a genius.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe that's not always the case. Maybe there are other factors at play. I mean, that second goal that Manchester United conceded, the Ollie Burke winning goal, you can't blame any coach for that. You can't blame any coach for that at all, because there are so many errors in that. It's kind of like, you know, when you're at work and you get a safety video. It's like if someone came in.
I'd never seen one until I started working with Pete Donaldson.
It's like if someone came in and put the computer on top of the photocopier, balance two cups of tea and a Jaffa cake on top.
Yeah.
And it's not tea,
it's acid.
Yeah. Put a boiling kettle on the receptionist desk and all that sort of stuff, and then put a couple of banana skins on the stairs that came in. It was kind of like that, I felt.
Yeah. Rio Ferdinand was very unhappy with that second goal, wasn't he? which is fair to say. I did quite like Chris Wilder saying in the post match, didn't he say something like, "Oh, I wonder what Rio's going to feel like, or his face is going to be like thunder." You know, but I tell you something which was quite glorious to see. It was 38-year-old Phil Jagielka, like bloody Gandalf, you know, you shall not pass kind of thing. He was... Peter?
I think...
Is it too late for the Euros, is all I'm saying.
Well, look, Paulo Sousa's in for Poland, so look, he could redeclare himself as Polish. So, yeah, like he'll be looking for fresh legs at Euros. But, yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it? Didn't Phil Jagielka... I mean, Jagielka has the sort of physique that you don't necessarily see that often in the Premier League. He looks heavy.
I love it.
He looks wonderfully heavy at 38. But he phoned his dad, and apparently his dad just laughed.
Is that
He said, I'm in the squad. He went, ha, 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 ha. I'm going to play. Ha, ha.
Of course you are, son. Chris Sutton, the way he was co-commentating, was like, he could barely believe Jagielka was still alive. He was like, oh my God, can you believe it? He's come out of his old people's home for this match. Yeah,
well, I don't know if the post-match interview kind of added something to that, because the way he had the subs coat on undone atop his match shirt, it did look a bit like he'd been rescued from up a mountain or something like that.
Yeah, I tell you what though, I know they lost the game, but that Harry Maguire header was very pleasing.
A lovely header, wasn't
it? It's a proper one. And the way he kind of spun and just sort of trotted back to his own half as well.
Should the first Sheffield United goal have stood?
No, Billy Sharp, is the answer, Billy Sharp, Peter.
Billy Sharp just kind of like, you know, taking De Gea, well, basically distracting him from claiming the ball.
Sharp, that was very much Championship Billy Sharp. We don't have VAR down here. We can do these little things to get away with it. But yeah, VAR didn't pick up on it. I mean, it did look like a foul, bearing in mind, Andy, that anything, that if you look at the goalkeeper the wrong way, then that tends to be a free kick against you.
I thought, you know, that I felt there was kind of this false opposition made between the disallowed goal for Manchester United in the first half and that, because I think people look at Aaron Ramsdale in a certain way and expect a ricket out of him. I mean, we've seen a lot of chat this season about how I've seen Ramsdale quite frequently referred to as the worst starting goalkeeper in the Premier League. I think that's really unfair. I think
it's a touch harsh.
I think he's 22 years old. He's playing his second season of Premier League football. He has, through no fault of his own, picked up an absolutely heinous price tag. And especially when you bear in mind how goalkeepers have been undervalued in the transfer market for years and years, it is a hefty fee. And so I feel there's a level of scrutiny on him that perhaps there shouldn't be. I mean, the idea that Sheffield United are down there because of him is just absolute nonsense, I think. But I think with both the first Sheffield United goal by Brian that did get allowed and the Manchester United one that didn't, I think you can think, and I do think, in both those cases, A, it was a foul on the goalkeeper, and B, the goalkeeper should have done a bit better.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Which 4 wins in 5 in all competition for Sheffield United, so a bit of a turnaround there. Is the great escape on, Peter?
That is well, I think if you look at teams like Fulham, for example, your beloved Fulham, like they need to turn their draws into wins, while Sheffield United have to turn their losses into wins. So it's going to be a hell of a job, but they're going in the right direction, and momentum is key as always.
Petey, little word for now former Manchester United man Odion Ighalo. His loan has come to end. He put a really heartfelt message out on Twitter.
He's just one of those kind of Newcastle sign these every kind of January. We'll sign like a last minute kind of striker to bolster our championship charge, and we'll probably do that next season as well. But Ighalo came in and with, you know, not a lot of love. And a lot of people complaining that he wasn't sort of signing that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer should be calling on, and he did such a great job.
It's nice though for someone like that who genuinely was apparently a Manchester United fan or is.
Yeah,
either way,
little Man United holiday.
Ah, glorious!
For any footballer to be that bought in is beautiful.
Yes,
I can't see how you can be left indifferent by that at all.
For
what it's worth, PT, when it does come to next January and Newcastle are in whatever situation they're in, they won't be signing Ighalo because people have actually heard of him now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a proven goal scorer in the Premier League. Certainly was with Watford. So no, they're not interested in any of that. Gentlemen, let's move on to Chelsea versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. Apparently it was Thomas Tuchel's first game. I say apparently because was that a Thomas Tuchel double? Andy, I don't know whether it's the blue, whether it's because he had his face off, part of his face covered the whole time, but I was looking at that guy thinking, are you the real Tommy Tuchel? Am I the only one who thought this? I saw him and I thought, Frank Lampard's barely left the building and he's right in there talking about my team and all this kind of stuff. And I thought, there's got to be something going on.
Now you know what, Marcus? I've been worrying for a long time about the effect that watching football every single night has been having on all of us.
Well, there you go.
You really are the last domino to fall, Mr. Speller.
This is not real. Football's not happening. This is a conspiracy. This is
too cold.
If I walked out of Stamford Bridge now, none of this would be going on.
Once you get onto your next line about these English players coming over and stinking out our game,
I'll tell you something.
You just
wait, Andy. You just bloody wait. I tell you,
he's not playing the kids. Well, he's not playing the British kids.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you see on the back of Tuchel's seat there was an advert for something that can only be described as blue fuel. Blue fuel.
I'm not having
it. I thought it was like red diesel, what the farmers use. But apparently, it's like health powder. You know, like the your proteins and your jellies and stuff that you eat before and after.
Why are you giving them free publicity?
I just wondered what the bloody hell blue fuel was. I thought it was a Gazprom thing.
Let's all celebrate with a cool cup of Gazprom. Tuchel, obviously, he was quite animated. But I suppose, Andy, most managers sort of, unless I'm missing something, they'll kind of, to use a on-the-pitch sort of terminology, they'll play their way in. They'll turn up and they'll, you know, they sort of mention the previous manager and so on. Honestly, the way Tuchel was getting so animated, he was dressed head to toe in Chelsea regalia and immediately he was going, I'm very proud of my team, you know, that my team have got this, that and the other. And I was like, a Chelsea legend has just left the building, you know. Won't somebody think of Frank?
Oh well, I think it's quite funny and it's quite on brand for Tuchel, who I think is a brilliant tactician. And when you hear him talking about the game afterwards, the post match interviews with him, I think were amazing. I don't want to take it away from the match itself. We'll come back to that in a minute.
It was boring.
Yeah, that's fine. to have the match explained so clearly and in such detail. I mean, I know people will pick out little crumbs like the 16 interceptions in the attacking half and all that for their own ends. But actually, to hear a coach speak so openly and so intelligently about the game, I thought was brilliant. But we know that as well as being a brilliant tactician, he's sometimes not that sort of socially adept, and he's a little bit clumsy in his relationships with players and board members. So yeah. I think this is very on brand. I mean, if you've
he's the German Phil Neville, you're saying.
No, I'm really not saying that. But if you're taking this route, the route that he's taken through his coaching career has really been following Klopp a lot of the time.
Yes.
Because, of course, he went to Mainz. Then after Mainz, after leaving there and after it all broke down there, he went to Dortmund. And now he's come to the Premier League. So I think the first thing you do is think, how did Jürgen deal with it?
Yeah.
Dress head to toe in stuff out the club shop.
Absolutely. I think that's spot on. And I tell you something, Pete, that this will go very much in his favour. A lot was made that he was a German speaker and he could speak to Havertz and Werner. Although I don't know, but I'm sure that Havertz and Werner have got a good grasp of English, if not fluent.
They do.
But one thing, Pete, I don't know if you noticed, he also speaks English. So he can speak to the English player. How about that? Very, very impressive, man. My goodness.
Amazing stuff. I think with this match, it was a bit of a... It was an opportunity sort of drop for Wolves, I think, because Chelsea offered very little in this football match. And Wolves kind of... They play very wide up top, and it means that like Neves always seems a little bit... Not exposed, but he's quite deep, isn't he? So Chelsea offered very little going forward. And I thought,
what about that scoop from Neto?
This match. Yeah,
That would have been such a great goal. One thing I noticed, Pete, that I think you highlighted once is before the game, Traore, his arms were like shining, and I thought,
so glistening.
He is greased up, isn't he?
Yeah, he did. I think didn't they make it clear that?
Did they make that clear?
I think he's admitted that he baby oils it because the assistants the coach. Well, yeah, because you know because people are always grabbing at people's arms and stuff. Yeah. You make that more difficult. I've said it before. Ultimate Warrior used to do it.
Yeah, exactly. It was good enough for him.
British bulldog.
Goodness. They all the big names. Tuchel took his first training session this week and is reportedly described as very tactical, which is what we've come to expect, Andy. Tuchel himself said the team was totally open to his ideas. Well, you'd expect that as well, I suppose.
Well, not necessarily.
Well, I mean, comparing it to his previous job. Think about it. He came away from PSG with the likes of Neymar and Mbappe, who by that point won't be listening to what he's saying. Whereas, of course, if he joins a new side, especially if they're kind of younger players and don't have as much experience, they're probably going to be more open to his
ideas. But I have to say, the reason he got binned at Paris Saint-Germain was more to do with his relationship with Leonardo, the sporting director. So, A, that doesn't bode well for a particularly long spell at Chelsea. But B, that doesn't say that the players had no respect for him, because I really don't think that was the case. I mean, I know a lot of people will have seen him walking off the pitch with Thiago Silva last night and saying, hang on, didn't he get rid of Thiago Silva? No, he didn't get rid of Thiago Silva. He wanted to re-sign him and Leonardo got rid of him. I mean, I think that was about 10th on their list of things to have a conflict over. But I think if you look at the way that Chelsea started that game, I think that they looked as if they had a lot of zest, they had a lot of ideas, considering he got across a new system and picked what I know a lot of Chelsea fans thought was quite a surprising lineup. I thought they came into the game quite well. But I think confidence has got to be a huge part of it at that point. And when it didn't yield immediate results, they lost some of that dynamism. I thought Wolves played really well, as Pete said, as well. So I think they've got something to work with. I would still reckon that Chelsea have made the top four. The middle bit of the season has stopped them being in a position to win the league, I think, even in such a weird season as this. But yeah, I think they'll get top four under Tuchel.
Okay, big shout, Andy. Big shout. What was nice was that in that training session that I mentioned, Hilario was pictured. Always good to see him. Always nice to see him being kept on as goalkeeper coach. So there we are. Pete, what did you make of the assume Chelsea fans hanging a banner on the Bovril Gate on the southern side of Stamford Bridge, bearing the word "Circus Continues" and letting off blue smoke bombs?
I mean, their success is quite circus-like. I mean, yeah. The circus rolled into town with a bags full of money, and you can't complain.
Are you suggesting this was a celebratory banner?
Yeah, the circus.
This is always one of trophies.
Who's annoyed when a circus leaves? You just see like this patch of ground on some some unlovable school field that's like yellow because it's had no sun. I love a circus.
Excellent. We're still here. The circus has not left town. Fun times are on. Oh dear. Poor old Billy Gilmore though. He's already been touted for a loan move at the end of the month, because he wants to make sure he gets in the Scotland squad for the Euros. I mean, you would have thought that he'd be in Scotland's plans. But if he's not playing much, then old Tommy Tuke might not have plans for him. So we'll see what happens with old Gillers. But good luck to him. All right, gentlemen, let's have a quick break.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at
Sukarnov. On Wrestle Me this week, we talked about the worst way to accept a Hall of Fame award.
They were just chanting, "You suck it.
You suck," and then he pours milk over
milk over
what
his head.
Is this?
Pouring milk over yourself is absolutely something that if you did it once in any scenario, people would never forget it. We were just having Christmas dinner and he just poured 2 litres of milk over himself.
Or if you're more in the mood for some awkward anecdotes, Alex shared his experience with the cast of Event Horizon on this week's Clash of the Titles.
We meet Smitty, played by Sean Pertwee, a man who I bumped into in a bar having never interviewed, and literally chewed his ear off, trapped him in a corner of a booth where he couldn't actually stand up and get away from me, and talked to him incessantly about this film. Later on in the night, his wife said to me, "Sean's outside if you want to carry on talking to him about Event Horizon."
All that and more at Sukarnov.
I'm not like wonderful. I am beautiful. Good looking.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for emails.
Just email the show at footballramble.com right now. So Peter, Vision, Kaylor, Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
We've got one here from Liam Barry, which says, when I was about 10 years old, I arrived at a local playing field for my Sunday league game. My dad and I were the first ones there, and the changing rooms were locked, so we stood outside and waited for people to arrive. After about 5 minutes, a huge man with a big mop of fair curly hair in full football kit arrived and started trying to go into the changing rooms. We told him they were locked, and I said, "You've got the same kit as us." To which the man replied, "Yeah, but I bet your team's not called Kylie Minogue's Love Children." I think they're still playing in the Swindon leagues today. I mean, that does suggest that they all had the same hair.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, or maybe they wore wigs or something. I mean, they're still playing in the league. Could they be seen in the FA Cup at some point? I don't know how this. Are they on the pyramid?
Sincerely hope so, Peter.
Let's hope so.
That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Some like troll, silly football club names getting to the FA Cup third round.
They should be so lucky.
Is that it? All right, there. We got a message from Rob McKemmy. No, I'll have another crack at that one. Rob McKemmy, penalty retaken, top corner. Did you notice Brendan Rodgers uses one of those pens with four colours to take in-game notes? Lovely.
That's
remember
good.
Those from back in the day?
Yeah.
Like next he's going to be using one of those big museum pencils. Big, chunky ones. The size of a guitar.
Love it. Bloody love it.
Enjoyable.
Well, more on Brendan Rodgers in just a moment. First, though, the email address, if you'd like to email in the show, is show@footballramble.com. Now we move on to Burnley versus Aston Villa. It ended 3-2 to those Burnleys. Oh my goodness, it was vintage Sean Dyche stuff. Burnley had a 0.77 expected goals to Aston Villa's 2.94. For those who are fans
Watkins
of
Watkins had a few things to say that.
He did. Back to back wins for Burnley for the first time this season, Andy. You don't often see them score three in a game. Just to be fair, they were, you know, they came back and whatnot. But lovely to see old Burnley and Dyche. Slowly but surely.
I like Sean Dyche, but even bearing in mind the explanation via XG. Uh-huh. I'm not sure I can fully explain the brass neck of him getting in front of the cameras afterwards and going, "Yeah, well, I thought we defended well." I mean, really? Like yeah, Villa could have scored six in the first half.
Oh my goodness!
Again, I thought Dean Smith was the other end of it. He kept it all in. Like you know, you expect a coach to say, "Oh, we had the chances. We could have put it away. We could have finished it by half time." All the rest of it. I thought, if anything, he understated that. Villa, this was the ultimate fib of a result. I thought Villa were excellent, and really my big surprise in, like, as we said, a very weird Premier League season has been Aston Villa for me, because they've not only done better than I expected them to, they've been a really, really, really good watch.
Oh yeah, they've been phenomenal, and obviously Jack Grealish has been a huge part of that, and he was. Mm. You know, he scored and he was doing his thing. Did you see
That save from Nick Pope, where he took it from the halfway line?
Oh, Grealish. That would have been goal of the season.
And I have to say, I'm not all over the Grealish-Gazza comparison, because I think, you know, Grealish deserves to find his own space, and they're different in so many ways. That was Gazza after four cans of Red Bull. You see how quick he was.
Yeah.
It was astonishing.
The acceleration was cool. It would have been superb. A funny thing came up on TalkSport recently, that you can buy a 60-piece jigsaw puzzle on Etsy called The Wonderful World of Jack Grealish's Calves, where you piece together an image of his legs, which is for the mere sum of £15, Pete Donaldson.
Yeah, well, I hope Jack Grealish gets a cut of that, to be quite frank, to spend on whatever Jack Grealish spends his money on.
Yeah.
Don't have to get into it, really, did I?
Presumably waits for his legs. I did think to myself that Villa, I think, maybe it's that sort of Kappa kit and the Jack Grealish effect, but they do have quite a good-looking side, if you think about it. You know, I think Ollie Watkins, a decent-looking lad, or you've got Matty Cash is a bit like Grealish's younger, good-looking brother. As well. I say good-looking with Grealish as well. And also, big Tyrone Mings is a beautiful boy.
Look, we were discussing this on WhatsApp yesterday, and didn't somebody try and catfish a girl by pretending they were Tyrone Mings on Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah, to get a woman to do a video call with them. I mean, if your net result is video call, that's going to be a very short video call when you're not Tyrone Mings. And, and Tyrone Mings, I happen to think, has the sexiest eyes in world football. So...
World football.
If you've not got
Jesus
that...
Jesus Navas wants a word.
Okay, fair those. All right. No, but like, Tyrone Mings has got this sort of like cheekiness to his eyes that just, oh man, gets me going.
I love the thought of that guy pretending to be Mings, gets the chat and goes, well, what does Mings wear? Right, full Villa kit. With Mings on the back with his number.
Is this a Gabby Agbon-Lahore cameo that someone's
maybe
rebroadcast?
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's like the Jamie Vardy man, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Oh, what's happened to the Jamie Vardy man? What's he doing?
He's injured, so he's got to stay on the down.
Keep a low profile. Is he back at the post office? Oh. That was a weird little sort of 6 months, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, really. 6 months did he get?
Yeah,
out of that?
It seemed to be, yeah, because he quit his job, didn't he? And then he was a professional Jamie Vardy impersonator when England were doing very well.
Well,
and did he upset Jamie Vardy by crossing a couple of lines? I think.
Probably the other way around.
His wife. I think he upset his wife, didn't he?
That's right, yeah. Well,
that will happen. Although I reckon Jamie Vardy probably did a few shifts at the post office and the guy was a bit pissed off. Hang on a minute. Of course, the ultimate impersonator of Cool Sandy was the guy who did old Sven Göran Eriksson, who went to Mexico when Sven was Mexico manager, turned up at that. Was it I can't remember what event it was. There's a whole thing there's a whole article about this, but he turned up with like a woman on each arm and did the rounds, and he fooled all of the Mexican media. It's like, there he is on the news.
There was post the World Cup when England played Spain in the Nations League.
Yeah.
We went along. I took my family and my godsons came along and their mum and dad as well. And there's a brilliant I saw the photos from that day a while back. There's a brilliant photo of my younger godson. We're walking past the Gareth Southgate lookalike, who's wearing the England waistcoat.
Yeah.
And you look at the kids' faces, and my younger godson really thinks it's him. And he's gone, oh my God, it's him, it's him. Yeah. And all the other kids are just...
I remember being in a nightclub in... Have I spoken this? I remember in a nightclub in Vienna one Saturday night and...
what a life, Pete.
And there was a Pete, there was a Pete Donaldson lookalike in there. There was, came face to face with him.
I had a fight with him in the mirror.
It was like that Spider-Man meme.
There was a... there was a guy who... there was a guy who was a Pitbull impersonator.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
But the nightclub was big enough to sort of make me go... Is it not Pitbull? Because Pitbull's like he's just a—it's an old bloke.
he's just an egg on a suit with some sunglasses on.
Yeah,
so I don't really know what the other distinguishing features are. Maybe I'm not a big enough fan.
He has done well for himself when all said and done.
Oh yeah, and the best thing about Pitbull is like I remember seeing another guy who clearly was vibing off the Pitbull in another nightclub in Tokyo, and it was a Japanese bloke, but he had a shaved head. He's quite tall and quite tan, and he had the big aviator sunglasses on, and he was clearly vibing off the Pitbull thing as well. So it is multiracial options for cosplay. That's all I'm saying. It's brilliant.
Oh yeah, well don't stop the party. I think is the message.
No, exactly.
Absolutely. But back at Burnley though, if I may, it is a good win for them, and it shows you that they've done that thing that Burnley do is they started the season
slowly.
Yeah,
the Lords.
They do a bit of that, but start the season. Oh, is this the season? Then they might go back down to the Championship, and now they're kind of. Sort of edging away.
It's just about goals, isn't it? I mean...
Expected goals.
They just haven't taken those chances because they're never going to create that much. But, Nick Pope's playing unbelievably well at the moment.
Yeah,
they're finally taking some of those chances because, if you go back a while and they're getting a decent amount of goals out of Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood, they're golden. You know, they're in that spot in the middle of the table where they're probably not going to qualify for Europe in most scenarios, but then they're in no danger of going down either. Mm. And if the goals are going to start to flow, I mean, the winner by Chris Wood, Dwight McNeil's equaliser, pretty lucky. But then the cross is perfect, the header is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. And he's got number 9 on the back as well. Looks right, doesn't it?
Yes. Although, I tell you what, that when he did that celebration and that massive skid that left that huge mark in the pitch, the linesman must have been doing his nut. I mean, did you see that thing in Austria yesterday? I think it was at Swarovski Tirol, where they were trying to clear the pitch. And basically, it was just... I don't even think it was a groundsman. It was just a member of staff with a ladder on a rope that he was dragging across the pitch to clear the side. It's actually surprisingly effective.
Oh, it was
but
super
again, I thought if you're the groundsman, you would have been doing your nut at that.
Stop dragging your ladder around.
It's set the bar. That's the hack. If you want to clear your football field of ice and snow and all the rest of it, get a ladder out.
Also works with dog poo in the garden. There was a lovely moment where Martinez did a save, and it was almost like a really spectacular solid save where he caught it, which you just never see in football at any point. In 2020, so I think Wood cracked it at him, and he I thought he was going to like just catch it, and it was just really upsetting that he parried it away. I was like,
what a shame. Andy,
rubbish.
Morgan Sanson has joined Aston Villa for an initial fee of £14 million from Marseille. Presumably, Andre Villas-Boas told him he'd be better off leaving Marseille, which is why he's gone to Aston Villa. Is that a good signing for Villa?
I think it can be. He's got loads of ability. And if you go back, year and a half, Marseille were trying to charge 35, 40 million for him. So, I mean, there are two sides of this. Firstly, the fact that he's got a little bit less on his contract now. There's also the fact that Marseille need to sell because they're a bit broke. Mm-hmm. But the thing is with Sanson, when he first came through at Montpellier, I thought he could be a France at least squad mainstay. You know, he's got great engine, loads of creativity, can get into the box and score goals, can set them up as well, good passer of the ball. But there's just been a sort of cumulative injury aspect to it where you wonder now, can he become as good as you once thought he could? I think probably not. But, if Villa can get him in decent shape, he still could. If you think of some of the players that Villa have... have got over that weren't making the most of their talent. I mean, it says a lot for Dean Smith as a coach, I think, and for his staff, because Bertrand Traore, when they bought him, he was broken. His last year and a half in France, he was terrible. And Sanson has been a lot better than that. So, yeah, I think Villa could do something with him. I'm not sure, as I've said before, how you fit him, Grealish and Barkley in the same midfield. But I don't know, maybe this means they don't keep Barkley.
Yeah, I think that someone needs to prepare old Morgan for people like me calling him Sanson rather than Sanson, which is quite clearly a better way of pronouncing it.
I'm presumably more accurate as well.
But there we are. Well, Andy, you're going to talk about André Villas-Boas's Marseille more on the continent, of course, this week, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, we are.
Well, that'll be very enjoyable indeed. Gentlemen, Everton drew 1-1 with Leicester. Mixed fortunes for England's goalkeepers. Of course, Nick Pope was absolutely outstanding for Burnley. And then Al Pickers made an error which really cost Everton the victory, you would say. But Petey, nice to see Gareth Southgate in the stand. Little glimpse of the big man. I thought, oh, come on. Not that far away, is it? Presuming it still happens.
I mean, he can just... Does he need to be there? Why can't he just watch it on the telly? Stop risking the Leicester and Everton players' health, frankly.
Don't question the England manager.
But, I mean, he got... I mean, I don't know whether it was because he was in the stand that the goalkeeper made such a hash of things. But, yeah, it was... I mean, if it goes to the other side of the post, it's a all right save. But, yeah, it was a bit of a stinker for the keeper, wasn't it?
It was a little bit. James Rodriguez obviously scored a lovely opening goal. First time in a little while he's scored. But I just... You mentioned how enjoyable Aston Villa are to watch, Andy. I love watching this Leicester team. It's got Brendan Rodgers' old brother Brendy's stamp all over it. The sort of the creativity, the sort of fluidity of the side, the sort of dynamism. And they'll be disappointed that they didn't go on to win the game against a decent opponent, of course, but they got back into it. They got the draw, and again, performance-wise, they won't be worried about dropping points.
No, they played really well, and as Brendy was explaining, when he was getting absolutely rained down upon,
he was soaked
afterwards. I thought, you know,
put your hood up, Brendy, like Carlo did.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's experience for you, really, isn't it, Marcus? But I do think that in that situation, they could have had them zoom them. Or something. It seemed a bit inhumane to have them out there. But
yeah.
I don't really know how to take this Leicester performance, because, like you, I thought they played very well and they probably should have won the game. But did they really create the chances to win the game? And I don't know if it's a bit simplistic to say, because on one hand, they got a decent result at a good team without Vardy and they played pretty well. But on the other hand, with Vardy, do they win that? Quite possibly, because he's not just a scorer of goals, is he? He's a creator of his own shot, as they would say in basketball. Yeah. You know, the way he picks it up in deeper positions and surges past players. Maybe not as much as he used to. But, yeah, I don't really think they created enough to win that. And in the end, they only got the draw because of Pickford's error.
A slightly different take to my positivity, Andy, but fair one.
Well, you live with Brendan Rodgers, so I mean, it's natural, really, isn't it?
That's never been proved. staying on Leicester City, sort of, we've got a Bakary Sagna update for anybody who's wanting to know how the former Man City and Arsenal man is getting in on. Of course, he left Manchester City in 2017. He revealed in an interview the other day that he turned down a lot of disrespectful offers since he left Man City, including one from Leicester City themselves. He said, "Leicester disrespected me. There may be an offer with a few details that were wrong, and they made me hang out on a couch for 8 hours.
I thought he said coach. I thought he hang out on a coach for 8 hours.
Either way, Peter.
Well, look, the Premier League coaches are lovely. Card tables, little tellies, lovely old job. I'd happily sit on one of them for a bit.
As long as no one uses the toilet, it's fine.
We don't know where the couch was. It could have been in a very, very plush room with a television and card table and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, obviously, the amount of money he would have been making at Manchester City, and then he leaves there, I suppose anything below that, which would be any offer from any other club outside of China, would be seen as disrespectful. But, yeah,
apparently... You say that, Marcus. He ended up joining Benevento, didn't he? And yeah, he did. Benevento were like relegation certainties at the time.
The
little witches. He was very big about doing it for the love and stuff at the time, wasn't he?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a strange one. I mean, I don't know. He didn't sort of detail how they disrespected him. And then he sort of added to that. And I don't care, actually. I shouldn't have given a damn that much. I'm not a man of money. I'm a man of heart.
He is. I agree. Have you seen him on Instagram? He once did, probably about a year ago now, he did like a Rube Goldberg machine in his front room. He set up this kind of like, you know, like a Rube Goldberg machine, Marcus, the those machines that do a very simple task quite complicatedly, you know, they overcomplicate a task. So say a button needs to be pressed and they'll set a ball rolling down a table which will bounce on a paper clip that'll flip up to set fire to something that'll float a balloon. You know, those kind of little kind
right,
of things.
Okay, I'm with you.
Long machines. He set one of those up in his front room. It's on his Instagram. And it ends up with a little Bakary Sagna scoring a goal, which is lovely.
Well, everybody should get on that, surely. The good news, though, coming from Bakary Sagna, which is the real update coming from, he's opened a burger restaurant in Paris called American Tasty Burger, which is not a great name. I'm surprised he's gone for the American vibe, although it's understandable. Not a great time to be opening a restaurant, of course, but I'm sure he'll iron out those kind of cracks, and there's more to the story than just that.
Also, Marcus, everyone in France is opening up a burger joint at the moment. Everyone.
But do they... Because, you know, like in London, ooh, I don't know, 10, 15, maybe more, I don't know, years ago, when you couldn't really get...
The hot dog sellers. Remember those guys?
Oh, I'd love those guys. But there wasn't really many good burger places in London. It was either you go to McDonald's or a pub to have a burger.
Yeah.
Whereas now there's loads of burger joints. Is that now happening to Paris?
Yeah, France is going through its like gourmet burger kitchen style phase, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
They've got better cheeses to put on them. That's what I was
saying. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You would say so. Sanya did say that he has a passion for cooking, and he says, I can make cheese toasties, pies, pizzas, you name it. get him in the kitchen. American Tasty Burger, I say.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, we'll go. We'll a trip there, Andy, I think, when lockdown is truly over, would be delightful. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to disappoint you, because now we're going to have a game of Portmantonio Conte.
I prefer to kill him.
Yes, it's time for some Portmantonio Conte. And I was only able to pronounce that properly because Marcus said it before me. Good. The game is called Portmantonio Conte. And the rules are alarmingly simple. I've got two clues.
You came up with the title, didn't you?
Yes, Marcus. Mate, I shit out gold every week and then forget I've done it.
Gold. Okay.
I've got two clues pertaining to two footballers whose names have been joined together. All you need to do is, guys, is guess who they are. Who is the player? Or who are the players, rather? I'm going to do the clue, and then as soon as the clue ends, the time starts to get your guesses in. And when you hear Kevin De Bruyne, it's all over. Do you understand, guys? You've done it before?
Yes, so.
Surely. Right, okay. I am a forward who played for PSV, Man United and Real in that order. And I am also an Irish goalkeeper who won a trophy in my only game as manager. Start the clock.
Ruud van Nistelrooy Carroll.
I don't know who got that. I don't know who got Charlie, Finn. Well, you're going to have to take the adjudication there because they absolutely nailed this one, mate.
I think I won on away goals.
Spell it. Look, Hawkeye, VAR. It's going to VAR. By a fraction, it was Marcus C.
Oi, oi.
Speller. Wow. Congratulations. Yeah, Ruud van Nistelrooy Carroll. He managed one game as manager at Barnet. And won a cup. So there you go.
Ah,
not bad.
Lovely old
not
job.
Bad. And there'll be more of that next week if we've got time.
Yeah.
Nice. I think it's the first one you both have managed to get. Well done.
No, I've got a few. Come on.
Yeah, all right.
Don't take away my
Yeah, but together, it's the first time someone's been neck and neck.
Ah,
dead
I see.
Heat. Enjoyable.
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Ladies and gentlemen. Marvellous stuff. What a way to usher in the end of the show. Before we go, though, of course, tonight, Tottenham Hotspur are playing Liverpool. Which is a tasty one. But if we go on what happened at Anfield, of course, in the first meeting between these two this season, it was a great game, so we hope for more of that. Jose Mourinho, a little subtle dick, Andy, at Jurgen Klopp, was
subtle
suggesting
dick.
Pardon, Peter?
I thought you said subtle dick. His dickishness is in no way subtle.
No one could ever accuse Jose Mourinho of being a subtle dick. He suggested in yesterday's presser that he keeps his emotions in check nowadays. The shaping of the dig at Klopp took place when he said, "When I didn't behave well, I paid the price. For some of the other guys, it doesn't happen the same."
Yeah, well, I suppose he's got a point to a degree, because Jurgen Klopp gets away with some quite boisterous behaviour by apologising immediately afterwards. I don't know why more coaches don't follow that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because Klopp is the only coach I think I've ever heard, certainly elite coach, come out and say, "Yeah, I was a bit of an arse there. Sorry."
Yeah.
You know, like top coaches are not capable of saying sorry, whereas Jurgen Klopp is. So that makes a difference. I don't think that's any particular revelation from Mourinho.
Is it just the fragile male ego that stops us from admitting when we're wrong immediately to get out of trouble? Could this work elsewhere? Shoplifting?
I wasn't
setting
wrong,
up an illegal
Pete,
rave,
it was a misunderstanding.
Why are you going into the male psyche as we're trying to end the show? Sorry for that. Let's talk about that for a bit. He did, on his relationship with Jurgen Klopp, Jose Mourinho did say, "I'm not a friend of Jurgen because I never had time with Jurgen. He is a colleague I respect." He didn't respect him a few years ago when somebody, I forget who, was doing a piece and they said to Jose Mourinho, like an elite coach's get together event, and they said, "Jose, you know, we've got many elite coaches here, yourself, Alex Ferguson, Pep Guardiola, you know, named a few more, Jurgen Klopp," and he went, "Not Klopp." he said something like that. It was before Klopp had won the Champions League and obviously the league with Liverpool, but yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. I very much am looking forward to the game.
Marcus, you'll not believe this. It's all kicking off on the Ramble Patreon, the Football Ramble Patreon.
Oh my God. I mean, I would believe it because I'm creating some of the content. But, anyway.
There's so much up there right now. We've got ad-free shows over there. You've got Football Ramble Presents. You can get a weekly bonus Ramble On episode, a weekly show called The Teams of Our Lives from Andy and Marcus. Hey, wait, that's you guys. Yeah. And also a fortnightly live stream featuring Q's, A's and games. Q-A-G. Just get yourself to patreon.com/footballramble to find out more. That's patreon.com/footballramble. If you visit the Patreon before and you didn't get involved for whatever reason, have another look. There are different tiers now. We've simplified it all, and there's just more content than ever. It's sickening, quite frankly. Marcus and Andy, they've worked their fingers to the bone.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. Definitely.
We're on video for the first time recording the podcast, so show us your fingers, Marcus.
We were on yesterday, actually, as well.
See, Pete, my bony fingers?
Yeah. Oh, have you got bony fingers, Andy?
Well, no, I've just been working them to the bone.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I'm just making you out not to be a liar, Pete.
Yes, mate.
Yeah, whereas Peter has very, very fleshy fingers, don't you, Peter?
I do. I have tiny little lady's hands. I have lovely hands.
Yeah, you
delicate.
Do, yeah. My goodness. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of this nonsense for today. Thank you very much for listening. On tomorrow's show, I'm back with Luke and Vish. It promises to be an absolute cracker. Until then, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.